Hello, Church. Today we are talking about Ezekiel chapter 48, and it will be the entirety of this this verse or this chapter. I hope that you had a chance to look over the questions and read this verse before we start. So if you haven't, I'd recommend that you pause this and look over the question and also look over the verse. And the reason for this is because Ezekiel 48 is a little bit different than what we're familiar with or what we might be used to. I think a lot of times when we hear messages, it's always about how there's a certain exposition, there's a certain narrative that you hear. But for this chapter, it's a little bit different because it's very historical in its very nature, or it's very detailed. When we look at verses 1 all the way to 29, you know, a lot of times when we read these, it's very specific. There's a lot of numbers, there's a lot of territories, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of places. And a lot of times it seems very irrelevant to us, but this is actually a very important part of understanding the historicity of the Bible. A lot of times when we read scripture, a lot of times when we try to understand scripture, we think, maybe this is more of a story that we're being told, or maybe this is more of a historical thing that we're being told. And sometimes there's a little bit of confusion. But verses 1 all the way to 29, I think they give us a very interesting look at the historicity of the Bible, specifically in the chapter of Ezekiel. And the reason for this is because in chapter 48, there are very specific tribes, there are very specific names, there are very specific places that are listed in this chapter, in this book. Now, a lot of times you might think, oh, this isn't that important. But to be frank, this is actually a really important thing for us to look at. And the reason for this is because the Bible is giving us real places, real names, real settings, and real tribes. And a lot of these names that are being shared can directly be linked to a lot of real places that existed in the past. Damascus, for example, was a place that's real. It's not some fairy tale location, but rather it was a real location. And the Bible makes a point to explain where are these places actually at. You know, in verse 1, it says, these are the tribes listed by name. At the northern frontier, Dan will have one portion. It will follow the Hethlon Road to Lebo Hamath, Hazar Enon, and the northern border of Damascus. Next to Hamath will be part of its border from the east side to the west side. So, when we look at this, we might think, oh, maybe it's not that important. But again, the Bible is affirming that there were real places in the past. It is affirming these real tribes. It is affirming something that is consistent with archaeological evidence. It is consistent with things that we see in history. And I think this, really what Ezekiel chapter 48 does, is it sort of affirms the historicity of the Bible. It affirms that the Bible is actually accurate or true, in a sense that it's talking about real places. It's not just talking about places that are a little bit beyond our grasp. I think sometimes when we think about Genesis 1, when we hear about the Garden of Eden, it's very easy for us to look at that and think to ourselves, this could be a real place. I think this is a real place, but I have no idea where this is. The Bible isn't really explicit about where the location of the Garden of Eden is, but here we see several different locations. Right? When we read the Bible, when we try to interpret it, when we try to understand the author's original intent, what really helps us is making those connections between reality and what the scripture says. I think all of the things that the scripture teaches is based in reality, but here we get a great example of something that's a lot more tangible than what we might be used to. I think a lot of times when we read the Bible, we have a tendency to stick to the New Testament, which is great in and of itself. But here in this specific instance, within the Old Testament, we see something that's a lot more tangible. It's not just a narrative. It's not just a story, but it's a story with the setting. It's a story with historicity. It's a story that can be extremely tangible for our intents and purposes today. And so having said that, you know, I want us to think about how is it that we're supposed to interpret the Bible? Now, this is a very big question. This is a very difficult question for us to deal with. And the reason why it's so difficult is because a lot of times we as people tend to read the Bible in ways that sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't make sense. You know, when we pick up a fiction book, you know, when we read, when we read like The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, we're going to enjoy reading that if we like novels. But the reality is that when we pick up this book, it's not going to be like, we're not going to read it as a historical document. We're not going to read it as if Narnia is a real place, as if Aslan is a real person. And the reason for this is because the author's intent of the book was to write it as a fiction book, as a storybook. With the Bible, you know, there are times where we might read it as fiction, which we really shouldn't do that, right? If we do that, I'd encourage not to do that anymore. But more importantly, I want us to remember, I want us to consider how when the authors wrote each of these books, they had a very specific purpose to it. Some authors wrote the book with more of a historical background in mind. Some authors wrote the book with more of a narrative in mind. All these authors have a specific intention. And within those specific intentions, they had a very specific purpose as to why they wrote this book. They had a very specific, responsibility per se. And with Ezekiel, as we read Ezekiel, one thing that we should consider is how it was written as a prophetic book. And even though it's a prophetic book, there are a lot of historicity behind it. There's a lot of things that affirm the reality of what Israel went through. And I think that's really important for us to remember. And so my encouragement to us is, as we read Ezekiel, even in our own time, you know, try to think about what are some things that we naturally assumed about the Bible. What are some things that we naturally assumed about Ezekiel? And we can say this about any other chapter as well. But I really want to encourage us to think about how is it that we've been reading the Bible? Are we being responsible in that we're reading with the author's original intent, or are we reading in such a way where we're putting our own context, our own thoughts into the scripture, that we're reading and we're interpreting things based on how we want to interpret things? I think Ezekiel chapter 48 is a great chapter. In that it sort of forces us to not put our own context, but it forces us to think about the context in the Bible. And my encouragement to us is that we'd be able to properly do this as we continue to read scripture on our own times. So with that being said, let me pray for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us gain wisdom, help us gain discernment as we try to seek your word, as we try to search for you, as we try to understand you, God. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's challenging because there's a lot of things that are a mystery to us. But Lord, I pray that you'd help us persevere in all these moments and circumstances. So God, I thank you for this time. I pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.